We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m., and if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on Portland Ready's 3 Safe Rest Villages and vows to open 6 by 2022. And Justice Sonia Sotomayor declines to block vaccine mandates.
Also, oil spill off the California coast threatens wetlands and wildlife. And Mike Pence popped up in Hillsboro, Oregon.
Like we needed that. Well, let's get right into it. New safe rest villages are opening in Portland. The city's 3 new safe rest village locations are downtown Portland, the city-owned lot on the 2300 block of Southwest Nato Parkway along the west side of Nato, the Brentwood-Darlington neighborhood, and the city-owned lot at 8330 Southeast 45th Avenue along the east side of 45th, at Southeast Harney Street, and the Hazelwood neighborhood, in a TriMet-owned lot known as the Menlo Park and Ride, on the southeast corner of 122nd Street and East Burnside Street. This is part of an initiative to establish organized and sanctioned camps stationed throughout the city. These 3 are the first of 6, as announced by Housing Commissioner Dan Ryan's office. TriMet General Manager Dan Dessou stated, "We recognize the important opportunity we have here, that the city transformed part of an underused park and ride into a safe haven. The park and ride will still be accessible to the public, only a portion of it will be used for the safe rest village." A map was released showing the locations of the sites as well as those of existing shelters in Portland. Commissioner Ryan, who announced the locations at a press conference Thursday afternoon, has promised to have 6 safe rest villages up and running in Portland by 2022. Staff have said they'll announce the locations of the other villages as soon as possible. The plan is to keep them open for at least 3 years, said Commissioner Ryan. Housing Commissioner Ryan first described the plan back in June, adding the city would pay for it with $20 million in federal COVID aid. In an interview earlier this month, the commissioner said his office had hired 4 staffers to help run the villages. "We have a great team in place, all within 2 months, and I think that Portlanders will hopefully remain supportive and helpful as we do some really tough work to get these villages up and running by the end of the calendar year," Commissioner Ryan said. Earlier this summer, staff said they were evaluating possible sites, looking at a list of roughly 70 city-owned sites. They later said they've expanded that search. This week, Metro officials confirmed that the Portland Expo Center, which was not on the city's original list for potential sites, is now being considered. "We're looking at all public lands, subject to zoning stipulations. Open space zone sites are not eligible for outdoor shelters. So that includes Metro, TriMet, ODOT, and so forth," wrote Project Commissioner's Liaison Brian Eptekar earlier this month. "We're also looking at private properties we might lease or purchase." Eptekar added, "One of the sites they plan to announce soon will house people living in their cars and RVs. When it comes to the others," he noted, "we have pods ready to drop in place at some of the sites as soon as the locations are confirmed." As of Thursday afternoon, officials had not given specific opening dates for the 3 locations they released. While Portlanders wait for details, the optics for the city's housing crisis indicates more people than ever are living unsheltered on our streets. The last official count conducted in 2019 showed 2,037 people were living on the streets.
Ooh. So, how many places that we've passed by, you know, driving through this city, not being used, areas that definitely could provide shelter to people in need. The fact that now we're making it happen, great. I just hope that it's a thing that keeps building in this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, looking at, you know, a list of 70 city-owned property sites, like,
yeah,
let's do something.
Getting 6 done by 2022 is great. If we can double that by the end of the second quarter, that would be awesome. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And I'm happy to hear considerations for people living in their cars and their RVs, like, you know, being able to have whatever hookups they need for RVs in some of these locations.
Yes.
Super, super helpful. But, yeah, man, it's enough is enough. Wintertime is about to come. Like, you need to be able to make something happen for people. Weather is
That's a great point. I was actually watching, there was a stream that I was watching this past weekend. It was, you know, speaking with some houseless people that were discussing their experience through this summer and during the heat wave.
Right.
And what that was doing, what that did, you know, people without the simple resources of being able to get some water or be in the shaded area, you know, having to actually deal with the elements, and cold is a whole different animal.
Man, seriously.
You know, we know that's coming. Our summers, we don't know that we're going to hit 116, right? But we know summer or winter come and it's going to drop.
Yeah.
It's the high probability of snow. And if not, freezing temperatures regularly.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. Of course, progress, always going to applaud the progress and the movement forward.
Yeah.
Just definitely hope that more, hopefully this just keeps expanding. And as we figure out what's something that's more of a long-term solution.
Because, I mean, I definitely, to hear that this cost, you know, roughly $20 million, it's good to know that they were able to accomplish what they were accomplished with, you know, with just $20 million, because that's not a lot. We've seen the city move, you know, $20 million here and there all over the place like it's nothing. Be able to, you know what I'm saying, to be able to double or triple the budget for this type of initiative would make a huge impact. Huge impact.
Yeah.
Like, I think the contract for the organization that pretty much polices the houseless community downtown, they're looking to renew their contract for $25 million. Those are just the people walking around and, you know, monitoring them. So, like, if we could, I don't know, take half of that and put it towards finding at least some semi-stable housing, you know, sounds like the better move to me. I don't know.
Nah, you make too much sense, bro.
I mean, you know, we don't get budgets that much.
Yeah, you got to chill out. You got to chill out on solutions. Oh, man. Let's talk about Mike Pence coming through to discuss our critical race theory problem.
Terrible.
It's a problem.
So terrible. Did you see that meme that showed the sister? We've seen this picture over and over again. The sister on her first day of school, surrounded by all those racist white kids that was hounding her on the way in. And it was like, so the white people in this photo don't want you to know, don't want their great grandkids to know that that was them in this photo. Don't want their great grandkids to know that they were harassing this girl. I was like, that's y'all issue with critical race theory. That's y'all issue with history. Y'all just want to hide it.
That's that.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. And it was crazy because I was like, I didn't even think about how short amount of time ago that was. Like,
that's the part that really hits.
Right.
Grandparents.
Right. Right. Right.
Like, y'all are making this out like this was eons ago. This was not the fall of the Roman Empire.
It wasn't. Y'all still alive. Y'all just old and racist. Y'all still alive. Y'all don't want nobody to know.
That's it.
Cut it out.
That's what somebody needs to do, is go and find the pig and find and identify each person in there. Where are they now?
Start tagging.
Where are they now series?
Where are they now?
On that photo.
Casual racism. Where are they now?
Well, the former Vice President Mike Pence took to the stage as the keynote speaker at a fundraiser for the Washington County and Oregon Republican Party on Saturday night. Pence headlined the county's annual Reagan Day dinner. U.S. Representative Cliff Bentz and Oregon House Minority Leader Christine Drazan also spoke at the event. Republicans were eager to hear what Pence had to say. After thanking supporters for attending, Pence spoke out against critical race theory, and I'm throwing the air quotes, and President Biden's infrastructure plans and the situation in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Pence also thanked U.S. Representative Cliff Bentz in his first term in Congress for being an impact conservative voice in Washington, D.C. Earlier, Bentz explains he hoped Pence will focus his remarks about the importance of our system, starting with the Constitution, and how long we have struggled to try to make them better, always improving them, and then these folks that want to come in and tear them down, and what I'm thinking about is critical race theory. Lord. Many at the annual Reagan Day dinner said they hope the fundraiser will bolster Republicans running for office in Oregon. As you know from following politics, campaigns cost money, and this is a fundraiser for the Washington County GOP, said Lake Oswego City Council member Jeff Goodman. Hopefully, it will raise money that they can support good candidates in 2022 and going forward. Dan Mason, the chairman of the Reagan Day Dinner 2021, said Oregon is typically ignored by big names, partly because we are so far from the East Coast, and it's not like it's a swing state, and we aren't like in Iowa or New Hampshire. So what we've experienced in the past, it's been a challenge to bring people out here, and we're excited that the vice president accepted our offer to come out here. Pence is widely considered to be mulling the 2024 presidential bid. Bentz declined to say if he would like to see Pence toss his hat in the ring. Pence himself did not give any indication of whether or not he'll run. Politico reports he will speak at an event hosted by the Young American Foundation.
He can't give no indication because he knows Trump trying to run again. Stay in his place. Stay in your place, young boy.
theories, you know,
they're a mess, yo. They're a mess. How we struggle to make them better, always improving them, talking about the Constitution, and then these folks that want to come in and tear them down. And what I'm thinking about is critical race theory. Who is putting all of this stuff in your, like, y'all are getting riled up by talking points from your own party that are false. Period.
False.
There is no critical race theory happening in high schools.
That's the part.
Schools.
Right. The frustration, the factor. And I get it, right? I do get where you hear something, without actually looking into what it is, and then enough people are saying the wrong thing.
Yep.
Right? And you kind of run with that. I get it.
It happens.
But as someone at these levels, as these representatives, meaning they represent the peoples, and not only that, they have teams of peoples that do the reading.
Right.
Because we say research is different than reading.
Yes. Yes. That do the reading. No, they're not researchers.
And it's so seeing like how this, that those three words, what it elicits from the peoples, when it's not a thing that's being taught, there's no class.
Right.
There's no CRT 101.
Right. Right. There's no syllabus.
No. And it's the way that it's painted as if you come to class and we are doing science, physical education, and a little critical race theorizing. Nah, player. That's not how this works.
Not even close. Not even close.
But again, why would we not want our youth to know what was happening 50 years ago?
Right. Why don't y'all want y'all kids to know?
Yesterday.
Why are you ashamed? Why are you ashamed? Did you do something shameful? Might you have racisted?
Racist.
might you have been doing all manners of racisms? Like, what is what are you hiding?
So, who knows? Take the Scooby-Doo mask off.
Right.
Who you are.
Right. Like, it's really, really wild. But like you said, these are representatives. These are people that are meant to represent the interest of larger groups, larger, you know, swaths of the community. So what does that say?
I thought you were about to say larger swaths, because I was
like, he's like, whoa. Whoa, wait a minute. What are we doing here? I'm going to catch up. Let's see where we go. Right.
Deep end. Okay, diving board. Okay, right.
But for real, like, what does this say about the people that are cool and feel encouraged by this level of representation? Like, you're totally cool and fine that the people you voted for are saying some things that are completely untrue, and you're ready to keep them in office.
Just thick as thieves.
Ride with them.
Thieves honor.
Unbelievable. Wild. Wild. In other news, huge oil spill in California threatens wildlife. A pipeline failure sent another one, right? A pipeline failure sent at least 126,000 gallons of oil into the Pacific off the coast of Orange County, creating a 13-square-mile slick that continues to grow. Dead fish and birds washed ashore in some places as cleanup crews race to try to contain the spill. The slick extends from Huntington Beach to Newport Beach. It was not immediately clear what caused the leak, which officials said occurred 3 miles off the coast of Newport Beach and involved a failure in a 17.5-mile pipeline connected to an offshore oil platform called Ellie that is operated by Beta Offshore. The spill prompted officials to close the beaches in Huntington Beach, where the third day of the annual Pacific Air Show was canceled on Sunday, a day after an estimated 1.5 million people had gathered on the oceanfront to watch the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds. I'm going to pause right here because 1.5 million people came out there to...
How do you...
Sir, is we are post-COVID or not?
1.5 million people? Maybe I'm just not...
Into the Blue Angels like that?
I'd get the Blue Angels.
Okay.
And 1.5 million people.
Mm.
And it's not like they're, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. Jeez. Yeah. Officials said on Sunday morning that they were assessing the extent of the damage as oil continued to leak into the water. Mayor Kim Carr of Huntington Beach said at a news conference Sunday afternoon that the spill was one of the most devastating situations our community has dealt with in decades. Whew. This spill was not the first of its kind to imperil California's coastline. In 2015, the Refugio spill near Santa Barbara, the worst in decades for the state, sent more than 100,000 gallons of crude oil spilling mostly into the ocean after an onshore pipeline ruptured. A $22 million settlement was finalized in October 2020 to restore natural resources damaged by the spill. A 3 million gallon spill off of Santa Barbara in 1969 has been credited with helping to set off the modern day environmental movement. Environmentalists point out that oil spills can kill thousands of animals, cost tens of millions of dollars to clean up, and contaminate beaches for months. Months? Try years.
Months. Yeah. Right. Sheesh. You know, because there's really large numbers that the human mind can't really wrap around in terms of volume.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to put in to mind how much oil, like,
yeah. Yeah.
100,000 gallons of milk.
Yeah, Bruh.
You in your mind, you want to see that.
No.
You don't.
No.
You can't rap. You're like, oh, that could fill this street. No, that. Mm-mm. And it's going into water. So it's not.
Yeah.
It's not a clean. It's.
It's. You can't just rinse it off with something else. It just, bruh. I mean, you are reminding me of a documentary I saw on the, it was another spill. It was a pipeline that burst, and that thing was like, I can't remember how many hundred days it was just flowing into the ocean. And they were showing different graphic simulations and representations of what it was doing to the area and the type of damage it was causing. And you're right. You can't really imagine it. You can't really fathom it. And
no.
Once you see it, you don't want to see it. Like, any oil spill is just like, oh, this was happening. It's a wrap. Cool. It's a wrap. The amount of ocean life and damage to the forget about it. Forget about it.
Man.
There's got to be a better way. There has to be. Just keep dropping oil in the ocean left and right. Like, come on, man.
I feel like we have the technology to really cut down.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we do. Well, I've done the research. And, what I want you to know is... Is that you know, tap the pyramids and pull out the ancient scrolls? Is the if y'all man listen,
y'all sit it down,
sit it all the way down,
back to back to back. well, the Justice Sotomayor declines to block vaccine mandate for New York City public school employees.
Hey.
Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor late Friday refused to block an order requiring New York teachers to have at least one COVID vaccine dose before returning to the classroom Monday. Without comment, Sotomayor denied an emergency application filed by the teachers Thursday. She acted on her own without referring the case to the full court or seeking a reply from New York. The teacher said, thousands of public school employees would be forced out of work by the vaccine mandate, violating their fundamental right to pursue an occupation. They also said the order was unfair because it did not apply to other city employees, including firefighters and police officers who routinely deal with the public. Teachers, by contrast, maintain close indoor contact with children who are dramatically less susceptible to illness from COVID, they said in their written pleas filed with the Supreme Court. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said in an interview Friday on MSNBC that 90% of education department employees have already received at least one vaccine dose, including 93% of teachers and 98% of principals. Big numbers on the board. The bottom line is, this mandate has worked, de Blasio said. I would urge every mayor in America to do it now. Get those vaccine mandates in place ahead of the cold weather when things are going to get tougher. Do it now or you'll regret it later. In a statement, attorney Lou Gelormino, who represents the teachers, expressed disappointment. The voices of our teachers deserve to be heard. These unconstitutional edicts will continue throughout the nation until our courts decide to hear our argument that the government has gone too far. Our children are the ones who will suffer the most. The order, announced in August, required teachers, principals, and support staff, including custodians and cafeteria workers, to have at least a first dose of COVID-19 vaccination by September 27th.
If they're worried about the kids, if they pretend to be worried about the kids, get vaccinated. It's really simple. Like, the kids are definitely out here catching that Delta strain. So don't be ridiculous. Don't be out here wilding. I'm a huge fan of the mandate, especially when you're dealing with a community that isn't clear for vaccines yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, 12 and under, they cannot get vaccinated. And you're working right with them, and you don't want to be vaccinated either. And you're free to move about wherever because your state is wide open. Like, you're tripping. You're tripping hard, man. Yeah.
I'm interested in, you know, the other states, especially with Blasio.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Health professionals in New York. I think around the time, I forgot what their deadline for the mandate was, but okay. There were like 5,000 people prior to that that, you know, were petitioning and filing for different, you know, exemptions, whether it's medical or religious. Yeah. And the closer, but they got to the deadline, I think they got the number down to 3,000 people, like 2,000 people were just like, I'm going to go get vaccinated. Like, I ain't losing my job.
Like, right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I would liken this to an example of a solution that Dick Gregory gave for cops. I remember when he was like, they want to be shooting and not pay the consequence. Make them have personal liability insurance. Make them have insurance. So every time they fire their gun, they're held responsible for the consequences of that. Attach it to their ability to make money. Attach it to their ability to provide for their family. And he said, and I bet you they'll think twice before they pull that gun out. So, like, yeah, you're out here doing fake research and having all these ridiculous conversations. You about to lose your job. So are you going to get vaccinated or no? You know what I'm saying?
And the thing is, I'm all for you having the control over making the choices you want.
Sure.
Right? The consequences, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that, you know, we have the freedom to do take the action.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, you know, the repercussions that are kind of laid out.
Yeah.
Like, I think all of us on planet Earth have wanted to punch somebody in the face. The reason a lot of us don't is because of the law. A lot of times, we still take the action. Mm-hmm. And then some of us have to deal with the law.
Yeah. And then some of us, you know, they don't like getting punched back, so they just keep their hands in the front.
Put your hands where my eyes can see.
Hey!
But make sure y'all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run Up the Numbers, hosted by Cam Jones and DJ Ambush. Music by Seeds.
All this for the 50.
You know it.